Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. And I'm so excited to be here for our 8th season of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. In 2015, I founded the queer improv show, Thank You for Coming Out, or TIFCO as we call it. And it was one of the longest running queer improv shows in New York City. In 2018, our beloved improv show became the podcast it is today, hosted and produced by Gay City News. It is an honor and privilege to hold space for the coming out and coming into self stories our guests share. And I am so beyond excited about my guest here with me today. Amy Schneider, she, her, is an American software engineer and Jeopardy champion. Following an impressive 40-game winning streak, she became the most successful woman ever to compete on Jeopardy. Since then, she has gone on to become a writer and LGBTQ advocate. She has spoken at the White House and has been covered in a multitude of publications, including People Magazine, USA Today, The New York Times, and The Los Angeles Times. Her book, In the Form of a Question, serves as an inspirational memoir and an exploration of what it means to ask questions of the world and of yourself. Amy, welcome.
Hi, yes, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. It's such an honor. And in my research of you, I learned that you're from Ohio.
I am indeed, Dayton, Ohio.
I am from Columbus,
home of the
Ohio.
Wright brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's
yeah,
where I
so
went to my second concert ever was there. I saw They Might Be Giants in Columbus.
Oh, nice. Do you remember which venue?
Yeah. No,
No,
but yeah.
that's fair.
Yeah.
So my dear friend went to Wright State Medical School.
Oh, yeah.
And so I spent many, many, many weekends in Dayton. Including what there's like a gay bar called something.
The stage door? The stage
No.
door? No?
Well,
That's the only
I
one
don't.
that's the only gay bar in Dayton that has existed consistently through the decades, but there have been a few others that have come and gone, so I don't know which one would have been. Yeah.
Got it.
And
That's.
the funny thing about it is like I was never, you know, I was never, you know, queer in Dayton. Like I came out after I had, you know, moved out to California, as they all warned me, you know, like that's what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I just Googled it and it was called Mask. And
Oh, yeah.
I guess it closed in 2020, which is a bummer because it had like a big mural of Ellen. It was just like so random, I thought. But
Yeah,
yeah.
no, my understanding from my I've got a well, I mean, you know, family and friends there, that it was like a the Fruit Loop, that there was a, you know, an actual like gayborhood there for a bit. And I think that like a lot of it died at like COVID, you know. And so it's kind of just back down to the stage door, which is you know, still there and still running. And I have promised the owners of the stage door that I would host them in Oakland someday, and maybe someday they'll take me up on it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I wonder if I've been to this. I would imagine I went there at one point with my friend, but either way.
Yeah.
We'll definitely come back to Ohio, but you know, we all have multiple coming out stories and multiple like coming into ourselves stories. And so I would love for you to share one or two or however many you'd like of those stories with us.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, like is you know, as for everyone, it's a ongoing process. It's a organic thing, as you might say. But there are a few definite like key like sparkle moments that I that stick in my memory. And the biggest one came during a pre-production production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, which I had always been into acting. Like, I was a theater kid my whole life, and continued that out here in, once I moved out to Oakland, I was still like doing community theater. And I happened to be cast as Francis Flute, the bellows mender, who in A Midsummer Night's Dream is to play Thisbe, the woman in the play within the play at the end of the play, outside the play. Anyway, if you know, you know. But the point is, I was one of those very common Shakespearean characters, which was somebody that was a boy dressed up as a girl in very silly fashion. Like, not intended to be. I wasn't one of those that was intended to be fooling anyone. I was like garish, and I had like big, like I used like lipstick to make big red circles on my cheeks instead of rouge and that sort of thing. And I had a wig, and I wore it sideways, and I did all this stuff. But like I remember deciding just as like, what is my, what is my motivation? That like, I was like, oh, I think it'd be interesting if like, I think it'd be interesting if Francis Flute was actually really into it, like, that seems interesting, right? And it worked well in the play. The vibes were good in rehearsals. And then I was driving back home from rehearsal, up I-880, because it was down in San Jose, so it was like a long commute. And I just all of a sudden had this thought, and it was like, what if I just also wore a dress when I wasn't on stage? And like, what if I introduced myself to someone and I said that my name at the time? What if I said, "Hi, I'm Jenny," and then I was just like, "What? What? 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 What a s wow! What a strangely interesting thing that feels like, you know?" And yeah, and the thing about it is, it's funny to me because, like, in a way, if that had happened back in Ohio, it would have been a shorter trip, from there to like fully coming out. But because I was in the Bay Area, like, I had met trans people, I had met trans women, and sort of because I didn't think I was one of them at the time, I was very reluctant to claim that identity, because I didn't want to like appropriate their thing, because as far as I was concerned, because it was like, well, I know trans people are a thing. And you can tell from they knew it from the moment they were born. They knew that they were trans, right? And I didn't come up with this idea until just now at the age of like, 26. So like, surely I'm not really trans. I'm just well, I like cross dressing, I guess. That's the Bay Area, like I like playing around with gender. It's fun, that's fine. And that's where I sat with it for a while. There was a, but it was persistent, and there was a place, and I'm blanking on the name. It was somebody's boutique, a woman's name boutique, that I don't know how I came across it, but like somehow had a business card for that was like a store for cross dressers, as it said, but it was like where you could go to get pumps and wigs and like all that sort of thing, and like the tagline was, where everyone's a lady. And I just sort of kept that as a talisman for a while. And for the next few years, it was just sort of something that was like there in the back of my mind. And it was like, I was like, okay, this is a thing about me. I seem to enjoy, I seem to enjoy this game, right? But I didn't, but I'm not gonna be trans. I'm not gonna like, I'm not gonna, impose on the struggle that my actual trans friends have had to deal with, like, and put myself on their level. That I'm just a boy that, like, has, I'm just a boy that plays around with gender and has fun. But I'm not like the real struggle that, trans women have. I mean, because, like I always very much like identified with trans women and supported them and wanted what was best for them and was feeling very much my, white man privilege. I was like, I don't want to be, come thumping in here, like, taking over your space and centering it on me, as we all do. And that was kind of how I was thinking about it. And it also, also it would have, it made my life, I didn't want to disrupt my life, like it's a big, like it's been interesting, like, in the hour or so leading up to this, like trying to put myself back in that mindset because I'm so like, over it now, like it's so like, it's such a thing of the past for me, but to remember how insane and unachievable it seemed to be to like do the whole thing, come out, like you have to change your name and go to like driver's license and passport and like just like everything about you that you have to do to go through all that, like it touches every part of your life, and it just seemed like ridiculous that I was going to go through all that. But and so and so it stayed that way for like a few years. And so that was, so that first spark was the like, oh, what if I just wore a dress all the time, sort of thing. And then I'm in this intermediate stage for a few years. And what happened then was basically that my marriage fell apart. My wife, who I had met in Ohio and moved out here with, and who I'm still very close with, after everything has played out. But we did, we got divorced in 2016. And that was a real like shock to me. I didn't see it coming. She was like, this isn't working, like I need my own, whatever the reason relationships end. And so then I was living by myself in California. She knew that I had like a little drawer full of women's clothes and that I liked them. And there was nothing stopping me when I was home alone from like putting them on. And I slowly started realizing that like every day, as soon as I got home from work, I was immediately changing my clothes. And I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to change out of my boy clothes and into like my girl outfit that I had picked out, and I would be thinking about it all the time. And the thing that really clicked for me was I had a sudden thought that if I was to suddenly die, get run over by a bus or whatever, that in my coffin, I would be set out in a suit and tie. Because I hadn't told anybody that I didn't want that. And the only way for me not to be laid out in a coffin in a suit and tie when the time comes was to actually be trans and to come out. And so I was like, I guess that's what I have to do. And so that moment, like that image of me, in my coffin, and it wasn't like a morbid thing, but it was just a like, oh, it's this fundamental, and this is something that is not never going to change.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that. It's all super relatable. I just like as you were talking about like the feeling of coming out and into oneself as being unachievable is so relatable, because I just remember myself feeling like this is it's impossible. Like there's no world where this could be real, because it's too hard, it's too scary, and it is a mi I believe every trans person is a miracle, because to live our truths is like a mirror, it's a miracle,
Yeah,
you
it
know.
is. It is. It is. And it's, a thing that I often think about is like hearing words that are used that are like, about coming out around like bravery or courage or things like that. I was like, I get what you're saying when you say that it was brave to come out or courageous or whatever, but that wasn't how it felt. Like, I did it because there was nothing else to do. Like, it just had to happen. Like, it didn't feel like a brave choice. It just felt like it just is what it is, Like, it didn't feel like a choice.
Yeah, definitely. I struggle with that too, the like the terminology, like you're so brave. And I think for me, I think I just get kind of mad about it, because it's like, well, we shouldn't have to be fucking brave to exist and live our truths. We should just be able to do it. But yeah, to your point, like there, yeah, it came to a point for me where I was like, this isn't a choice anymore. It's like I either will not exist anymore, or I need to come into myself in a real way. But man, those logistics around just all the paperwork and all, like, I put off changing my name legally for years, because I was like, it's so much work and gotta go to the court. And I feel lucky and blessed and grateful and privileged that I was able to do it all, especially before all these shenanigans now. But oof, it's a lot of work. Like physically, but also emotionally and spiritually, I think it's just like a lot of change.
No, and I mean, I am, very fortunate, to have, I'm in Oakland, right? Like, of all the places in the world to come out as trans in human history, I picked one of the very best ones, And so like it was, daunting. But I was really fortunate in that, I was in a place that had the systems, that had the support, that had the like, path for me to follow, that made it more possible. And it really like made me think about, how did, think about Stonewall or whatever. Like, how did people do this before? Like, how did this, how were people able to, do the, because like, it was so hard, there was this part of me all the way up until I finally gave in. Like, My official coming out day is June 30th, because that's the day I called and told my mom, and that was like the last person that I, hadn't told. I mean, slash the rest of my family, but like telling her was, telling the rest of the family. And up until that phone call, I was like not 100% sure I could go through with it. And like in a different environment, would I have gone through with it, or would I have just like, lived and, in that closet my whole life and been miserable? Like, I don't know. Yeah. But yeah.
I'm in New York
Yeah.
City, and I think similarly to what you're sharing, like, I don't know if I would have been able to come out in Ohio when I did, if I were in Ohio. Like, I came out in New York, which felt just safer. But looking back, I have like trans guy friends who, like, one was like not it like in the same was like in the same kind of boat I was, where we're like, we're just lesbians. But then we had one friend who was like had just had top surgery and hysterectomy, and we were like, wow, Zach's really doing it. And just like, whoa, like it, but it never dawned on, I can't speak for my other friend, but it never really dawned on me like consciously. I definitely think subconsciously I was like, wow, I don't know how he's doing it. I could never do that. But I think like cis people don't ever really think that. They're not thinking, so it's like, okay.
Well, it's also, I mean, I think that like, is something that I learned too, is that like, the story that I was going off of, that, that transness is real and valid because it is something that children know from the moment they're born, and it's like da 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 da, is a simplified story to make cis people feel better, right? Like, because I have a cousin who is trans. And who is a trans man, and did really kind of like follow that path. Like, I remember like fights about, him trying to be put into dresses when he was like, 3 or 4 years old and that sort of thing. And it never manifested that way with me exactly. But also, I was just much more of a rule follower. I just wasn't as rebellious in general. And so like I wasn't happy about the clothes I was wearing, but I didn't know that there was anything else I could do. And so I was just like, whatever, I guess I'll just do this thing I hate. That's life, I guess, and so, yeah, I mean, I think the external performance is just very different and circumstantial and based on who you are and how you approach the world and everything like that. But the internal feeling is the same, whether or not you're somebody that feels comfortable expressing it from an early age or not.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I'm curious. So if one of the last people you told was your mom, who was the first person?
I'm pretty sure it was my friend Jen. Either Jen or Melanie. Yeah. And yeah, no, I'm thinking that through. No, I think it, I yeah, I think it was Melanie, and I think she was a little like put off by it. But I also like the first people I told, I would tell them in such a roundabout way. Like, I'd be like, I kind of think there's this thing about me that maybe I think, da, 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 just sort of like giving them an out to like I was like prompting them to not take it seriously, and And so like yeah, several of the first people I told were like, okay. And we're clearly uncomfortable, but they were responding to my discomfort, and in almost all cases they quickly came around. There was really only, I lost one friend over it, but everybody else was, eventually once I stopped being hesitant and just started saying, "Hey, this is my deal," then everybody was like, "Oh yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense."
Yeah, I think it's so interesting. I'm trying to think, like, when I was telling people, I didn't know what non-binary was. I didn't know, but I didn't know the word for it, but I knew that's what I was. And so when I would tell people, I was like really confident in my like not knowing. I was, and so it was weird because they had all these questions for me, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just telling you, here's what I figured out so far. But it is kind of, it's like, our people feed off of how we present things to them. And also it's hard to know for some people, like what the right words are, or maybe those words are going to change.
Well, and that's yeah, I mean, and that's the thing too. It's like you don't, I like people asking me, like I remember one thing that one incident that comes to mind where I went out to these friends that were like sort of like, sort of second tier friends, but invited me over for like a backyard concert that they were having. And I kind of impulsively decided to go there like femme, and one of them and the host like kind of in a discreet, polite way at one point was like, "Can I just ask about like what are your pronouns?" And I was like, "I don't know. I have no idea, So yeah. I mean, that's part of it too, is like figuring it out as I go.
Totally. Yeah, I had so many friends who were just the most well-meaning, like wanting to support me, being like, "What? Like, are you changing your pronouns?" And I was like, "I don't know. Don't ask me." Like, which is like, and it's like when I think back on it, I mean, I responded to them actually in a nicer way, but like I remember feeling inside just the like, ah. But yeah, and I'm just like, now I'm like thinking back and I'm mortified in some of the ways I did respond to people, but it's like I just didn't know how. And like people didn't know how to ask or talk about it, and a lot of people still don't know how to. But I think it was a lot. We were in a lot grayer area 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, to know how to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean I remember slightly a bit more down the road, but when I was trying to pick out a name, which is a weird space to be in, to like not know what your own name is, right? And this guy, and we came out here to kind of be in the stand-up scene. He was a stand-up comic in the Bay Area, and a well-meaning enough guy, but was just very like, "No, okay, here's the thing. Just say the first name that comes to your head when you think, go. You know it. You know what your name is. Just like whatever feels right now. Go." And he was like really like pressuring me into like, figuring it out. And I was like, "Sorry, dude, I'm not like it's not gonna work that way, because like because in fact, as I think I mentioned earlier, like I did have an original name of Jenny, like that was a name that I had fixated on from childhood, but when I came to myself as an adult, I was like, that's a child's name, like it didn't feel like me. It felt, it felt childish. I wanted a name that was, I wanted a name that was like fairly anonymous. Like my dead name was Tom, which is a very like neutral name. And I had liked that, and I wanted another neutral name that didn't say much about me so that I could be whatever I wanted to be. And Jenny, I was like, that feels, that isn't it. That's the name I wanted when I was, in first grade, and Jenny Applegate came along, and I was like, that's really cute. But, that wasn't what I want, but it wasn't me. And so,
So how did you come up with Amy?
I really don't know. Like, it just sort of came to me, right? I was just like running through like names in my head. Yeah, no, I think, what is it? I'm trying to remember. There's one I used on like a Dark Ages like internet bulletin board system post on like crossdressers.org or something that was like Michelle, that's what it was. It was like I was maybe Michelle on one of those forums. But yeah, just kind of going through it, and then just like Amy came along and it just like hit. And I was like, that's okay. It just was it. And then like I was like, do I need a middle name? Do I want a middle name? All this sort of thing. This was after I'd come out, but I said to my mom about a middle name, and she was like, what about, because I was raised Catholic, in a fairly relatively like conservative Catholic upbringing. But like, so, like we're all named after saints and whatnot. And so, my, but like, yeah, my, at birth, my middle name was Ezekiel, the tripped out prophet. And she said, yeah, so she said, what about Leah, a biblical name? I was like, oh, that actually fits really well. Amy Leah Schneider, I love that. And then she said some other insane biblical name that would have been ridiculous. I can't even remember what it was. And I was like, no, mom, you got it. You're done. We're done. We got this. And
First
so it was
time.
like, yeah. We're stop digging. So yeah, so I was able to like, give her that part of it. That she still, she gave me that part of my name in a small way. Yeah.
That's so nice. I forgot to pick a middle name. I was so like tied up in the logistics of everything that I did not
Yeah.
even once occur to me to pick a middle name legally. So I don't have one. Which,
Yeah,
whatever.
which was an option I was considering. Yeah, like
Yeah.
that, like before that phone call with my mother, I was on the fence of whether I was going to have one at all or not. But yeah.
Okay, so I want to backtrack a little bit because you had talked about this like you were friends with trans women, but you were like reluctant to in your words, you said thump into space, which I think is like
Yeah.
such a visual. So I'm curious, like at what point did you tell those friends and were they like very welcoming and like this space is for you, or like how did that go?
It was very welcoming. Yeah. I mean, I think that like the trans friends I had were like, none of them were like the like closest friends, but I had a very good, again, it's Oakland, and like really, like people were more accepting of my trans identity than I was for the first couple of months, like all of that thought of these real trans women are going to resent you for, for colonizing their space or whatever. Like, that was just all in my head. There was that none of it happened in reality. It just was something I was making up.
Yeah, I mean, I think just like I wonder if there's like part of that is like protecting yourself and protecting, because I'm and just like how we are raised and how we are conditioned and socialized. I could understand the like hesitance of like it took me years to use the word trans. Even though like I am, and but I just was like, but that's, I don't want to use that word because it's not my word, it's their word. And then eventually I was like, I am them, literally and also figuratively, like that is me. But yeah, it's like it for me at least, yeah, and it sounds like for you too, it took a minute to kind of undo and redo and click in a way that made sense.
No, I mean it is. I remember somebody, like not early on, but at some point when I went, was a little bit established but still feeling weird about it. Somebody gave me like this little card that was like, here, this card says that you're actually tr I don't know. It was worded very cleverly, and I wish I could remember it well, but it was something along the lines of, it's your official membership card into being trans. You're allowed to call yourself trans now. And it was just something that she handed out to everyone, because so many of us go through that, of the feeling like, well, like, yes, y'all are trans, but I'm not, but I'm something different. And that was a, I was already pretty much on that path, but it was a really cute idea, and I really appreciated it.
Yeah, I really love that. Yeah, I think it's like a I talk about this a lot of like just like that like little moment of permission of like like just getting that is so crucial for a lot of people. It's just like I'm the first time I met someone who used they them pronouns, I was like, oh, and that was my permission. Like it just was like, that the representation of visibility is so important. So when you do you get back to Ohio on any kind of regular basis?
Yeah, reasonably often, like, a couple of times a year.
Yeah. And how is it going back?
It's basically fine. Because I'm in Dayton, I'm in a city. I'm not out in the country. It's certainly, I have felt less comfortable in the last couple of years than when I first went back there. It's gotten, there's a lot more Trump signs around. But like the thing is, like, I haven't really. I haven't encountered any actual, I haven't had any hostile interactions. I've just seen signs and like things like that make me feel, unwanted, which they're intended to do. And again, and that's also just when I'm driving out into to like to see my like extended family, if like that's not actually in the city, like in Dayton itself, I've always generally felt, pretty fine.
Yeah, that's great. I feel the same way about Columbus. Like, I don't like to venture, far out in any direction, but Columbus is, it's Ohio State is there, and so it's a big college town and progressive. And so I don't mind. I actually really enjoy going to Columbus, and I have a lot of queer friends, and there are a lot of queer bars and coffee shops. And so, yeah, it's. It's pretty Columbus, Ohio. I have a sticker on my computer that says Ohio. It ain't that bad. And
Yeah,
I
yeah.
stand by
No,
it.
I agree. No, I my you know, my joke is like I always say, Ohio's a great place to be from. But like I do mean the great. Like I think it's you know, kind of underrated as a as states go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's definitely like I do like carry it with me. You know, because yeah, whatever I have said about like Trump signs and all that sort of thing, out, you know, out here, like, you know, the people that are like Bay Area natives or whatever just want to write the whole place off as a red state. And it's not that at all. You know,
Yeah.
it's, you know, yeah, like, you know, it's what, you know, 50 some percent Republican, but it's 40 some percent Democrat. Like, it's not, you know, like the, yeah.
I mean, it's definitely more purple than other states, that's for sure. So in like your run on Jeopardy, and then you have a book in the form of a question, I'm curious if there are like moments for you, like being in the public eye, that have been really meaningful. Like being that representation for other people, like if you've gotten that feedback, and I'm curious if you can share any stories.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, you know, really, like, the stories that I hear, like, that I would hear over and over when the episodes were first airing was, you know, my grandfather, it was the first time I ever saw them, you know, correctly gender a trans person, and or, you know, and like they started to, and like they had started to like understand how to like gender me correctly and use my name correctly, like that, you know, that seeing me on TV wasn't enough to like shift that in their minds to make it easier for them to like, you know, and that's just like something that I, you know, is amazing. Like, I didn't expect that. I didn't know that that would be as impactful as it was, and it's such an amazing thing that happened. You know, and yeah, like, it was a few years ago, and I sometimes, this is a good reminder to me that like, what a great, like, you know, blessing or whatever it is in my life that I had the opportunity to do that, you know. 'Cause I mean, like, you know, when I was saying before about, you know, having it relatively easy coming out in Oakland, and having a sort of feeling of guilt around that, like, knowing that I was able to help some people out there in the, you know, harder places to be trans, was, you know, I mean, just really, 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 really great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really special. Did you have people like reaching out to you on social media and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Like on, you know, like on, it was Twitter back then, you know,
Yeah.
and things like that. Yeah. And then I would, you know, I had some, like, you know, I would do some speaking engagements, or, you know, and I had a book tour and things like that, and just like talking to people there. And yeah, I mean, it's something that, like, you know, being, you know, becoming a celebrity, you know, in the sense that I have been, you know, it's certainly disorienting to have people come up to you on the street that you don't know, but they know you.
Yeah.
And that, like, you know, was a real, like, that was something I really had to adjust to, the fact that, you know, whenever I was outside my home, at any moment somebody might come up and be like, hey, you know, da da da. But what I'll say is, like, and I mean, for the most part, almost all of the interactions I've had in that way have been like perfectly fine and nice. And everybody, you know, Jeopardy fans are generally pretty chill, cool people. I have not had a serious problem. You know, I've like, God, I'm, you know, like being a pop star or something like that. You know, nothing along those lines. But, you know, but sometimes it's like you're not in the mood and you don't, you know, it's like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, whatever. But, you know, whenever I spend a trans person, it's, you know, I'm there for it. And I, you know, I, you know, welcome it, and I'm grateful for the chance to have that.
Yeah, that's so nice. It's yeah, I think like in the last, I don't know, 10 years since I've been doing this podcast and producing my show, I've maybe been stopped on the street like 3 times. And which is not a ton, but it's a lot for, you know, to have random people come up to you and know who you are. And it is, it's definitely jarring. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, hello. Yeah, so but it always is nice to, like, you know, connect with other people in the community too.
No, I mean, it's like the thing that really struck me was how often that you know, somebody will be like, oh, and then they'll go away and be like, nice to meet you. And I'll be like, but I didn't meet you. I don't even know your name. You didn't introduce yourself, you know, like, which is, and that's not like casting, you know, blame on them, because I think back to myself, if I had run into a celebrity, I would have probably not introduced myself because it wouldn't have felt like the thing to do. Like, I understand why the interaction is the way it is, but it does feel strange.
Yeah. You know, a few celebrities that I've met, and the first one that comes to mind, the first time I met her was Sarah Bareilles. Like, I was so starstruck that, and she could tell that she was like, "Hey, I'm Sarah, what's your name?" Like, was like so like helping facilitate the, like, you know, which is just, you know, above and beyond kind. But yeah, it is. It's like a weird, like a parasocial thing where it's like, it's nice to meet you, but we didn't meet, but I know everything about you. Bye.
Well, and this is like kind of tangentially related, but it's just such a nice story that I want to share it. But like the, you know, my favorite celebrity encounter before I was a celebrity was with Hunter Schafer. My, you know, at that point ex-wife, like for whatever reason, her job, she had tickets to this like press touring Euphoria event of some sort that Hunter Schafer was going to be at. And I was, you know, just still a dewy-eyed baby trans girl, that had been, you know, blown away by the existence of a, you know, a trans character. So, you know, being so matter of fact on this show, which I don't know, I mean, a very ridiculous show, but anyway, at the time, it was just like so important to me. And so, you know, I went up to her, like, you know, people. There was a line and people were going up to, like, you know, get a little picture and, you know, have a few words and everything. And, you know, the person in front of me was saying how much it meant to them to see her on screen and all that sort of thing. And I just said, yeah, I just agree with everything that that person said. And she said to me, she said, I'm just glad to have family here. And it was just the nicest thing. And it made me feel so good and so like, yeah, it was just, you know, I love Hunter Schafer forever for that. It was a really nice thing that happened to me.
That is really nice. I mean, it's just it, there's, I think, queerness and transness, it's just such a con it can be such a connector for folks. And I love that she said that, and because it really can feel that way. So time, I just looked at the clock and the time is flying, and I hate to do this, but I have to bring us into our lightning round of questions.
All right.
I already made the very dumb joke earlier, but these questions are nothing like Jeopardy. They are open-ended though, so they're a little bit harder to answer than just like a quick lightning round usually is. But it's just meant to be for fun, and you can pass if you don't want to answer, and there are no right or wrong answers. Are you ready?
All right, yeah.
Okay. Where's your favorite place to think?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Oh, your favorite place to think.
My favorite place to think, by Lake Merritt, in Oakland. Sit on a bench there, see the ducks and the coots and the cormorants and everything like that. Yeah.
That sounds lovely. Who is an influential queer person in your life?
Well, I think my friend Ben, who I mentioned briefly earlier, who is was sort of like, my trans mom, even though she's a cis woman, she really like for example, like the first time, we would go to there was a bar that we would go to, all the time, and like one of the early times we were there after I was transitioning, I was like, well, I kind of need to go. And she sort of figured out that I was wanting to go home because I had to use a bathroom and I didn't feel comfortable in the women's room. And she was like, oh, come on. And she grabbed my hand and took me in there and like was like, yeah, it's fine. You're a woman. This is the bathroom you get to use now. And so yeah, she really I'm just taking this opportunity to shout her out because she was really influential at an important time.
It's so nice to have a friend like that. That's great. What is a song that you can listen to on repeat forever?
Yeah, I don't know. I've had the Janis Joplin song "Cry Baby" stuck in my head for a while. Like so that's as of like right this instant, I'm really in a Janis Joplin mode. Yeah, I guess that's my answer.
Great. Love it. What's one thing you want to be known for?
That's a good question. I mean, because like yeah. Being already known for, I don't know, like yeah. I don't know. I like to be known for something other than being a Jeopardy champion. Like not ex not that Jeopardy champion wouldn't be part of it, but I would like there to be something other than that, but I don't know exactly what yet. So, yeah.
Yeah, TBD. That's great.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, this is a two-part question. Think
Yeah.
of a concert you would love to go to. What concert would it be?
Like, I mean, I guess what I would say is like a like if if it was possible, which it isn't, for the White Stripes to reunite and do a concert, I would love that.
Great. So let's say there's a White Stripes concert. You're there. What's your bathroom song? You're like, I don't really like this one. I'm gonna go to the bathroom.
Probably one of those off of which album is it that was like kind of like Conquest, I think. It was like like I get what they were doing with that, but it's like, oh, I'm not particularly into it. Like I kind of not to be this way, but like I really like their early stuff,
Yeah.
yeah.
Sometimes
Yeah.
it's just real. Sometimes you just really like the early stuff.
Yeah.
Where do you find the most joy?
Like I mean honestly again like Lake Merritt and Oakland in general like I think that like I struggle to convey to people what it is that makes this like feel so like home to me but I mean a lot of it is the weather and like the sunlight and things like that but Yeah, I mean, it's just whatever alchemical mix has created the city. It's the right place for me to be.
It's amazing that you found it. Okay, last question.
Yeah.
Bagels or donuts?
Donuts.
Interesting. What's your go-to donut?
I guess I would, yeah. If I'm like, really, if I'm really going crazy for it and, getting something cream filled is one thing. But like, apart from that, I do like actually, yeah, I like a crawler.
Very
Yeah.
good.
Yeah. I like the texture on that.
Yeah. I want a donut now. Well, okay, so this has been amazing. Thank you so much for joining me, Amy. It's been so lovely getting to
Yeah,
know
yeah.
you and getting to talk to you, and thank you for coming out.
Oh, yeah, thank you for having me. And this has been really, really fun. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Anytime. Thank you for coming.